So, good morning, everybody. Today we're going to really focus halacha lemaisa. We're going to finish up more of the background, just a little bit, because it's necessary to understand where we're going to be going halacha lemaisa. I'll mention up front that we have six halacha lemaisa issues that we want to resolve. One is the standard case of chazara from hatzalah, which means what's the psak on any case where you're going in for a legitimate reason, pikuach nefesh is taken care of, and now you want to go home. So what are the psak halacha that's out there in terms of being able to do that? So we're going to do that first. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg, and what we're going to need to do very carefully, once we get the, and I've already mentioned them, the three piskei halacha on this, and we kind of will see that there is a mainstream approach and there's two outlier approaches, is to understand the svara behind the approaches, because even to a greater degree than we've been doing, because once you nail down the svara, that's what opens up the corollary cases, the other cases, the extended cases. The extended cases are going to be like this. We're going to talk about the ideal case of a volunteer, a person like the tshuvas are about somebody who voluntarily goes out to save somebody's life, has a certain dispensation from Chazal to come back. What if you're paid? Right? What if you're paid? It's your job. You're a resident. You're a fellow. You're an attending. You're getting paid to do this. That might change the equation. Number two, what if it's a shift? And this is going to be a slightly controversial area. What if it's not that you're on call from home and you might not get any calls, and then you suddenly get a call to come in? What if you have a shift to be in the be in the ICU from 8 to 8, or to be in a certain ward from a certain period of time? Do you get to go home under those conditions? The fourth case is going to be, and somewhat related, but not the same, or fourth and fifth case are really, what if you're going in for a non-B'nai Bris, where we'll see that the parameters of Pikuach Nefesh are different, and related, not directly to the case, but related to Gabi, this din, what if it's your spouse or your child that you're going in with? How do we approach that psak? And then, finally, and here's a major other area of slight controversy, which is, what if it's that not that you're coming in on Shabbos, but it's Friday, you're in the hospital totally beheter, and you now have to make a decision to stay or to leave before Shabbos starts. You elect to do the medically, ethically, humanistically correct thing, which is to stay and take care of the patient optimally. Now, do you have this heter of chazara now at Shabbos already? Or are the circumstances different enough that you lose that heter to go back? So we're going to cover all of that, Be'ezus Hashem, today, so that next week we can move on to something else. Just in terms of what we're going to be doing the rest of the time, I think I have three left, two or three, I don't know the exact number. What I was hoping to do, because I had promised somebody this, the very last one I want to make, sort of a mock Shabbos on. So we're going to try to cover everything we could possibly cover, starting from the initial, let's say you're carrying a beeper, whatever it is, you're paged. All the kind of things that we can handle in one little session that'll happen to you in terms of going in and getting into the hospital through the doors, up the elevator or not, escalator or not, et cetera, writing, orders, all the different things. Then even some of the treatments we'll try to throw in there. You know, IVs, blood drawing, is there anything, you know? You don't want to tell a patient, yeah, I can do this IV, but I got to do a bishinoy. You know, they're not going to be excited about that. But so we'll see if that's really the way it turns out. It reminds me of, there's an interesting Ramban in Hilchos Milah, has nothing to do with our thing. He makes a similar joke when it came to the Milah on Shabbos, whether it's Tchuyah, Hutra, it's a whole lumdus. So I think the Ramban actually had a really good sense of humor, because in the middle of his parish, he throws in this idea, and what should we do? The Milah Bishinoi? You know, like the same kind of idea. But, so hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, that'll be the last one. Prior to that, what I wanted to do next week, because actually I think it's two I have left, but I'm not exactly sure, I have to check, would be an overview of the categorization and the different halachas, the gabe, different levels of chola. So, chola sheben sokana, how do we define them, and then what's mutter, what's ancillary, what's direct, Kolishem Basakana, etc., etc. So we'll try to like have the summer kind of end with some type of conclusive halacha lemaisa. So today, let's just quickly review what we did last week and finish it up in terms of the background for these shailas to answer those six or seven halacha lemaisa shailas. So we saw basically as we went through, I don't know if you guys have the handout or not, we went through certain gemaras and mishnayos that are very relevant. We had the gemara in Beitza that dealt with Ula's chiddush that there are certain halachas shehetiru sofan mishum tchilasa. That's principle number one. That Chazal, in the context of a din derabanan, that's all we get from Ula's cases, all of Ula's cases, and one of them is going to come back to be very important for this controversial Friday night shaila, which is that Chazal, for Simchas Yom Tov, will matir certain things that were asami derabanan to encourage you to do the thing you needed to do for Simchas Yom Tov. So those were three examples of hetiru sofan mishum tchilasa. Nothing was on the level of deraisa at all in that context. We then saw in Rosh Hashanah that in the context of Eidus HaChodesh, there was a heter, Shema Yachshilim L'Asi Lavo, and it's important to realize this. We pointed this out last time, but let's reiterate it. These are two principles, very, very closely related, but different. One is hetiru sofan mishum tchilasan, and the other one is Shema Yachshilim L'Asi Lavo. So what's the subtle difference? So just to pinpoint it, and it's going to be very relevant again today, especially for Friday night, but even for some of the other ones, is the heter of Hetir Sofan Mishum Tchilasan is focused on getting you to do something right now. We want you to do this thing right at this moment, so we're going to be matir, something that you're going to end up falling into a certain position, we're going to be matir that, to get you to do this thing now. Shem Yachshim L'Asid Lavo means we're going to be matir something now so that when this comes up again in the future, you're not hesitant to do what you need to do. So those are very two different circumstances. Both of them are going to be potentially relevant to us. In the context of Shem Yachshim L'Asid Lavo, when it talks about Eidus HaChodesh, right, all stemming from the Gzeres HaKosov of Bemo Adam, we see that Chilul Shabbos was absolutely pshita. Chilul Shabbos was mutter to get there and to be meyed on the moon and have Rosh Chodesh declared. But the Bechidish was, in the case where Rabbi Akiva was hesitant, we saw that there was a heter even when we thought it was not necessary for them to be Mechal Shabbos, right? We had so many Edom coming in. It was clear as day that the new moon was there. We didn't really need these guys to be Mechal Shabbos. But Shema Yachshilim Al-Asid Lavo, we're going to let them be Mechal Shabbos and Mistama even on a level of Daraisa. We're going to let them carry and we're going to let them go past the Tchum Daraisa, according to those who hold the Tchum Daraisa. And that was a very important and major makor. So at the end of the day, though, none of these directly addressed our issue till we got really to the Gemara in Erevin, right? There was a mission of Rosh Hashanah that touched upon it, talked about the following, that really there's a very strict din called Tchum Shabbos. A person's not allowed to travel more than 2,000 amma from their Makom Shvisa. And if they do, whether it's purposely or not, they are then sort of given a knas of they only have dalad amos. That's the Ikar Adin. And this mission introduced the idea that for, first of all, Kiddush Chodesh again, for that purpose, right, Chazal said, no, we're going to give more than just dalad amos, but you're going to be ke'an she'ah year, you're going to get your alpayim amma. And then the mission ends, and not only is it true in the context of Kiddush Chodesh, but it's even going to be true for, let's say, a midwife who's going out to deliver a baby and other settings of Hatzalah. Even in Hatzalah, right, Pashut Pshat in that Mishnah, you have the dispensation of, you get Alpayim Amma, you're like Anshei Ha'ir, and you're not just limited to Dalet Amos. And that's it. That's all that seems to come. If this was the end of the discussion, we have no straight Makor to allow us to be Chozer from a Hatzalah, Pikuach Nefesh, more than the Tchum dispensation that Sugya gave us. Is there anyone see any other potential way of extrapolating it out more? So, you could have theoretically made the argument, and no one does, that, whoa, Kiddush HaChodesh, right, we're allowed to do Daraisas. So can't we say Kal V'chomer, for Kiddush HaChodesh I could do it, for Hatzolos Nefashos, Kal V'chomer I should be able to get the full dispensation, right? So the reason this is not true is because, you know, halacha doesn't work in such a pasha fashion that we get to make our own kavachomers and paskin to be a machal Shabbos daraisa. right? And Rav Shlomo Zalman, you know, actually spells it out a little more clearly. He says, no, don't, you can't compare this necessarily, because we're going to hold Hatzalah is going to be Pekuch Nefesh, Docha Shabbos is going to be Dechuya, the Kiddush HaChodesh is going to be Hutcher, and it could relate to that halachic mechanism. We're not finished with this, which is why I'm going through the trouble of mentioning it. It will come back in a moment when we see the Chasam Sofer and what he had to say. Before we get to that, though, we had the main sugya. The main sugya is the sugya in Erevin that discusses what seems to be a stira in the Mishnah, right? It talks about a case, again, of people that are going out on Shabbos Birishus. Mishiyotze Birishus, someone who's going out on Shabbos Birishus, can go beyond the Tchum Birishus, he can do whatever he needs to do Birishus, right? So what does that mean? It means either Kiddush HaChodesh or the Hatzalah cases. So, and now, in the circumstances of this Mishnah, a little different than what we had discussed previously, in this, they find out, Farnaseh Maisa, you're not needed anymore. So, what's the din? Is that person now, let's say he went outside the Tchum, is he stuck in the Dalan Amos? Or does he get the heter that we already knew for those that successfully went in and did what they needed to do? So, the Reisha of this Mishnah says, you get the same heter, right? That's all it says. You get the Alpayim Amma. Great. Where things get interesting is the Seifa of the Mishnah. The Seifa says, Kol Yotzim Lahatzil Chozrinim Koman. You get more. You get Chozrinim Koman. So it's clearly the implication is more than just Alpayamama. But it's like a stira. What are you talking about? First you told me only Alpayamama. Now you tell me this. So the Gemara gets right into this. Stira. And the Gemara says, well, maybe the difference is we're going to be machalik between our Yitzios L'Rishos. There are Yitzios L'Rishos. And then there's Hatzalah. Hatzalah maybe gives me more. So the Gemara says, no, it's not that simple. It can't be that simple because we have our other Mishnah. Our other Mishnah included cases of Hatzalah clearly and only gave them Alpayim Amma, right? That's really the opening of the sugya. So what does the Gemara do with it? It gives me two answers. Everyone understand where the question is. The question is, I have Hatzalah cases where I'm only getting Alpayim Amma, and now I have this Mishnah over here in Erevin that tells me more. I get to be Chozrin and Koman. Presumably, that's already past the Tchum. It's possibly even a Daraisa, Mutter, upfront. So what's the circumstances of being held in check to 2,000 Amma? And what are the circumstances that I get Chozrin and Koman? So we get two answers, Rav Yehuda Marav and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Yehuda Marav says, it's a special circumstance. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Shechozrin B'Klei Zainom Nimkoma, right? And there's various ways of understanding this, but I'm giving the Pashup Shat and Rashi's Shat is Nimkoma means they get to 2,000 Amma. No more. We're not changing that. There's no different. 2,000 Amma, that's all you get Legabe Tchum. What's the Chiddush of Chozrin Nimkoma, according to this answer? The Chiddush is a little extra. You get to take your weapons with you. You don't have to put them down in the first spot that you're able to and avoid Hotzah and avoid that Isur Daraisa. Why? Sounds crazy. Why? So the answer is Maisa Shahaya, because it's all Mishum Pikuach Nefesh directly, not a Tirusof Mishum Filasan, not Hechshim Lasi Lavo. That you have to realize. This is because of a Shash of a continued Pikuach Nefesh. So you don't get anything out of this. Out of this answer, all I know is that there was a Maisa Shahaya where they made this mistake of putting down their weapons, and they came back, and the enemy came, got them, and then everybody ended up getting killed, and that's Mamish Pikuach Nefesh. So Nuch Takana, because of that chash of Mamish Safik Pikuach Nefesh, you can take your weapons with you. So from that answer, we don't get anything. The second answer, though, a little different. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, maybe different, maybe not different. What does Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak say? He says, no. The difference between the two cases of when you get Alpayim Amma and when you get Chozrin Mimkoma depends on the line of whether it's Nitzchu Yisrael or Nitzchu Es Atzman, the non-Jews. What's the difference? So Pashu Pshat, Rashi's Pshat, clearly, and Rov Rishonim's Pshat, and Achronim too, for that matter, is it saying like this. If you lost the battle and you weren't in good shape, that's when you get this extra dispensation. That's when you have the Chashash Pikuach Nefesh. You're worried. You're going to get attacked. So under those conditions, we say, Chozrin Limkoma means all the way past the Tchum, you can go all the way back home to safety. That's the idea. Get to safety, whatever it takes. Why? Because Nitzchu Umos HaOlam. But if it's Nitzchu Yitzroel, that's when it's Alpayim Amma. Right? That's Pashup Shah. Now, if at the end of the day, so what do I get out of this? The Gabe Chazara Tirusofen Mishum Tvilasa. Presumably nothing. There's no mechanism here operating according to the pshat I just gave you. We don't see it to yourself in Mishum Tchilasa. This is the straightforward way Shlomo Zalman says that this sugi should be learned. He says this is the way Rov Rishonim learn it. And at the end of the day, there's no psak that's going to be operative to help us at all, the Gabe Hatir Sol Mishum Tchilasan. All we're really left with is Tchum. All you get is instead of Dalan Amos, you get Alpayim Amos L'chol Revach. So that's going to be very limiting, right? We'll see that there's one posik, more than one, but there's like a minority sheet to still who says this is it, right? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that's how he paskins. He paskins, this is all you're getting. And at the end of the day, he did not allow Chazara Mihatzala, even Dinim Derabanan. You could not do Amir Lenachri and get home, according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. So we'll see. Even Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to move. He feels in his, it's very interesting when you read his tshuva, Rav Shlomo Zalman definitely feels that's right. What made him shift to a more Mekel Shita is Kfar Horizakin, the Chasim Sofer. Chasim Sofer took it further. And in a tshuva, allowed Chazara al Yidei Derabanans, which we'll see. In the meantime, what we ended off with last time was, I wanted you to understand Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein takes his Adas Yochid to the other extreme. He says, we see here clear as day. I mean, I don't know if he used that expression. I'm exaggerating, because it can't be clear as day. But he sees in this sugya, and you'll see what motivated him to do this, I don't think I stressed it enough last week, that this is a raya that you can go home with daraisas. What generated that approach? So it was the comments of Tosos on the Mishnah here, and the Rashba in Deo, on Daf Yud Alf, on the sugya that we started with. Both of them asked the following question. They key in on the seifa of this Mishnah, on Kol Yotzin Lahatzil Chozinim Koma. And they say, hey, why isn't that on the list of Ula Hetir Sofan Mishim Chilasan? Right away from asking that Shiloh, what are they indicating, Tosfos and the Rashba, that unlike the Pshat I just gave, somehow they understood the second Pshat to clearly be working because of Hetir Sofan Mishim Chilasan. You want to know why you can be Chozinim Koma? As though now when it's a real hatsala under certain conditions, right? You still have to say it's only under certain conditions. Because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is making a chiluk. He's saying under certain hatsala cases, you don't get the full hetiru itself and mishum tchilasan to go and use daraisas, and on certain ones you do. And here's where Rav Moshe has to give pshat, right? The Rashi and Tosfos don't give pshat in the Gemara. But he's going to say, Rav Moshe, that the way they learn Pshat is different than Rashi. It is that the opposite. Nitzchu Yisrael versus Nitzchu Umos HaOlam, you have to flip them. So that, really, when is it that you get only Alpaim Amma? That's if Nitzchu Yisrael. And when do you get to go all the way home? Nitzchu Umos HaOlam. How could that be? It seems so counterintuitive. It's how you define those expressions. He doesn't define it as you won this battle and you lost this battle. He says the general, Yad Yisrael Takifa, Yad Umos HaOlam Takifa. That's pshat in those two lines. So for Rav Moshe, he now develops, and this is going to be very important, Lach Lamaisa, those who want to use Rav Moshe's heter, it's a big kula, but this chumra is there. You have to be honest and uphold this chumra. What is this chumra? He says like this, when is it that we say, Hetiru Sovim Shum Chilasan allows you to be over in the Raisas? That's if you are the kind of guy who we don't know, and we're suspicious and worried, you might be hesitant to do the right thing and do the Hatzalah because you'll be stuck in on Shabbos. Who does that apply to? That applies to somebody who, let's say, they're going in under easy circumstances. They're going into a situation where the likelihood is they're going to get to come home quickly. Yad Yisrael Takifa. If Yad Yisrael is Takifa, then the presumption is that that person going out to save the Jews that are being attacked, right? Oh, they're not under so much pressure, right? They figure, we're really in control. You know, it's in the United States, right? I'm going out to get these anti-Semites in upstate New York who are causing some trouble. But basically, the government of the United States is very supportive of Jews, et cetera, et cetera. They don't like people discriminating against others. So I'm going to go out on Shabbos. I'm going to take care of these bullies. I'll get them out of the way, and I'll come right home. So that guy, we don't know what kind of mysterious nefesh he's really capable of. Maybe he wouldn't go in under more difficult circumstances where he'd be required to stay longer on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe says, that guy doesn't get Hetir Sofen B'Shem Tchilasa. That guy only gets alpayim amud. But the guy that goes out under yad ha'akum takifa, the guy who goes out, even under circumstances where this is not going to be easy, he's got to like go in and rescue the Jews from the outside world under very difficult circumstances, he shows a tremendous mesiras nefesh, and he's likely to be the kind of guy who doesn't worry about, I had it reversed, right? The first guy who's going out under, certainly repeated, just to clarify, the first guy who's going out under easy circumstances, he's the guy I don't know for sure whether he would go out, so he's going to get the heter of a tir sof and bishum tchilasa. But the guy who's going out under difficult circumstances, he doesn't need it. He's so willing and able and happy to be moser nefesh to save Jews, the fact that he has to stay over the full Shabbos would never make him hesitate to do it. So he does not get the tir sof and bishum tchilasa. Everyone got it? So Allah lemaisa, this is Rav Moshe is going to play it out. So circumstances over here, he even says with the chachama who's going out, the midwife who's going out to deliver the baby, you know, he says she's on the list of limited talpayim ama because he has to say that because it's the feirush in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, that she's on that list of only talpayim ama. So it must be that her expectations is the long labor, whatever, and it's going to take a long time. So she's moser nefesh, so she doesn't get the dispensation because we see she's the type of person. So this is going to have some application. We'll see in a moment when we get to the Lach Lamaisa. If you're going to use Rav Moshe's Kula, which is Daraisa's, you have to be careful to still maintain this Chiluk, right? And the truth is, in the majority of cases of a doctor, nowadays, in my field, it's very much, you know, the majority of the cases, my mindset is it's going to be quick, right? In other words, nowadays, modern medicine, you know it from the scenario you're getting into, but a lot of them are, you know, you just got to make a quick decision, get things going. You know, you count on the house staff to really do all the work. So you're just going to give your deos, whatever you can do over the phone, you're going to do over the phone. But sometimes you have to go in, like that case I told you last week, where you have to, that pericardial effusion, where there's fluid around the heart, and I have to make that decision because I don't trust the guy who's there. Takes me about 5 seconds, and I put the transducer down, I go, moderate, severe effusion, bye, see you on Sunday, right? So that would be one where Rav Moshe would say, I don't have the heter. I really, if I was passing the Rav Moshe, I don't have his heter. I don't think so. That would be one where I'm not Moshe Nefesh Bechlah. Same question.
You would have.
I would have the heter, right, sorry. I would. Okay. At least I'm consistent. I keep making the same mistake. Well, we'll see about that. That's going to be very, very nogea discussion, almost a debate between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe. We're going to key in on that. Well, I'm going to elaborate on it more. It's not as simple, right? Rav Moshe in his tshuva, I'll tell you right now, just a blanket. He looks at medicine today as analogous to cases. You do get that dispensation because it's generally going to be a quick, not serious thing where we don't know the doctor's mosi nefesh. Right? He's definitely going to generalize that to the cases of a rofe.
And
right, so, but he, yeah, it's interesting, right, I agree. In other words, like, I might be Moshe Nevesh, but I don't want to stay there all the Shabbos. But Rav Moshe doesn't look at it that way. He definitely generalized to the point that the only way the guy's going to lose this kula is if he really does something that expresses something akin to takifa umos ha'olam. And we'll see, because if you look, I don't know if you have that handout with you, but continuing along these lines, if you have the handout, you see on page 3, I bring you that Rashba and the Tosfos. And by the way, I brought you the Shita Mekubetzes, who directly opposes the pshat of the Rashba and Tosfos. You should see that, because that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman will emphasize and many others. And all the other Rishonim are kind of more in line with the Shita than with this Tosfos and this Rashba. One could easily see, you know, I don't want to get into academic Talmudic scholarship, but one could easily see the type of Hagos Shita suggests as being correct, especially if you look at the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, the same exact Tosfos, really the implication is like the Shita. Right? If I was learning this honestly, the sugya, I would have definitely leaned with the Shita's approach away from the Rashba and Tosus. But Rav Moshe felt otherwise. He's not the only one. He's not the only one. The Rambam. Let's just take a quick look at the Rambam. That's the other sort of background that's worth dwelling on a little bit. Look at the way the Rambam presents this, because the Rambam's going to be very much debated too, whose side he's on. So the Rambam presents two halachos that are relevant on page 4. He first, in Perchav Zayin on the bottom, halacha Yud Zayin, he presents Pashat Pshat like the Machmir, like Rav Shlomo Zalman. He just says, Kol hayotzin lahatzul nefashos, Yisrael miyad goyim, o mina nahar, o mina mapolis, yishlem apayim ama l'chol ruach. So, mimalkom sheitzilubo, right? V'im haiso yad goyim takifa, v'hayu mefachtin, he really spells it out, and you're fearing for your life, then chozim demkoma. So it's the straight shot, like Rashi, like we had said, like Rav Shlomo Zalman. From this Rambam alone, you're going l'chumra. There's no way you're going to go like Rav Moshe. What's amazing is the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Chaf Gimel, completely seems to contradict that. Kedarko, you know, he's got to always make it interesting. So he says like this. He's talking here about the following. Goyim shitzaru al ayaros Yisrael. Right? Here he's talking about goyim that are coming and they are coming to cause trouble on Jewish cities. Now I'm skipping down to the bottom. Somebody who comes, now people go out to help their brothers. Mutter lo lachser b'chle zainam shelahen limkoman b'shabes k'dei shlo lachshilo l'asid lava. He suddenly throws in k'dei shlo lachshilo l'asid lava. What does that have to do with anything? You know, it's totally the other way. Now he's saying, what's operating, the mechanism of Hepter that's operating in this case, is Shema Yachshilu l'asid lava. So how do we reconcile these two Rambam? So Pashat Pshat, and the Pshat of Rov Rishonim, is here in Perek Beis, he's kind of saying this, and he's somech on the clarity he gives it later in Perchav Zayin. So again, they stick with Pashat Pshat. Don't read into what he says over here, Shema Yachshilu l'asid lava. You have to be a little creative with understanding Pshat in those words. But at the end of the day, many will say the Rambam, don't get confused. The Rambam means, again, L'chumra, like Rashi, like Rosh Hashanah. But Rav Moshe says, no, take a look, the cases are very different. In one case, the case where he's machmir is where Yisrael was biyad hagoyim. Yisrael is in the yad of the goyim. And therefore, a guy who's going out to save those people, he's being moser nefesh. That's that difficult situation where this is not going to be simple. You got to, first of all, you know, it's like lo aleinu, but when Gilad Shalit was kidnapped, one of the problems just saving him, like we're used to, you know, the Israeli army just coming in, taking care of things, right? It was very difficult to find out where he was, right? And then let alone, once you find out where he is, to go in and get him, it's not a pashut thing. So obviously, these guys in this halacha are moser nefesh, gamor. So that's why Rav Moshe says, that's why, wow, those guys are going out to do that, we're not worried about them, shem yachshim l'asid lavo, so we'll be machmir over there. But in the first case, it's not like that. It's just a bunch of bullies that are starting up with a city of Jews, much pasha, just, you know, like, take them out and go back home. So that's the guy we're worried about. It's over there, Shem Yashim Lasilado. So he fits it into his pshat. So according to Rav Moshe, it's not only Rashba, Tosfos, it's also the Rambam paskening this big kula of the rices are mutter. So that's a nice heavy-hitting team already. So Rav Moshe will come out with that psak that way. Now if you go through, we're not going to do it now, the tour and the Shulchan Aruch, there is a little ambiguity, but for the most part, as Rosh Shlomo Zalman points out, it seems to go like the more pashut pshat.
There's never a reverse to Rambam, but Rambam clearly read the Gemara, not like
from the second Rambam.
The second Rambam.
Right. So unless, you know, the Rambam is unless you accept that chiluk that he made. In other words, he's going to say the Rambam is looking like Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He reads the second halacha, the bottom halacha, like what's his name, by Rav Yehuda Marav, that under those circumstances he paskins like both Rav Nachman. This is what the Rush does, this is what everybody does, paskins like both those ukimtas, right? And then he says Rav Moshe's chiluk. It's an amazing thing that he points out Shlomo Zalman says, what are you talking about? The Rambam, like you just said, it's so pashut. And Moshe says, you can't do that. Look at the way he presents them. He's presenting them very, you know, very differently. He's saying one is Biyad the Nachrim, one is Al Ir Yisrael. He plays that up. He's very meduyak in the Rambam, right? And he says that he's making my chiluk. The problem I have with Rav Moshe, Lefi Anias Daiti, is I can't. This chiddush is such a tremendous chiddush. This is such an interesting idea. Would somebody please spell it out? You know, like if that's what you really mean, Rambam, say that. Say that this chiluk is well. We give Hatir Sof Nishum Chilasan only to people that are not Moser Nefesh. But if you're Moser Nefesh, you're not going to get it. It's just too much of a big chiddush not to kind of like leave it from the subtleties of being medayik in his words. But nevertheless, Rav Moshe felt very comfortable doing that, putting the whole thing together. What really opened it up for him was the Rashba and the Tosfos. Those are Mefurash, implying that what's operating here on a level of the Raisa is Hatir Sof Nishum Chilasan. And once they did that, he took the pshat and he ran with it, and he puts Rambam right into it. But I agree with you. I think the Rav Shlomo Zalman's more pashut pshat for sure.
Why is it so pashut that it's operating on the horizon? It's chumim.
Yeah, so that's accepted. If you look at the circumstances, what chozer in the mimkomim, if you look even at Rashi already, it means past Yud Beis Mil, right? And then mistama, they had seder laderach. They had things that they were taking that were carrying. It was going to be chutzah. All right. So now let's get. With that background in mind, let's get to the new handout. Do you have the new handout? Did I give you a new handout? There is a new handout. I have a few extras, anyone who wants one. This is all the halakha l'maisa. This is worth having, because it's like all the major halakha l'maisa. I gave them out last week. So let's now answer all six of our questions so we don't have to do any more on this topic next week. First question is, so how do we paskin the basic din? What's the basic din? So what do I get to do? Daraisas, darabanans, or nothing? So I want you to see there's Hartzvi, that's Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank, that's Shita number one, I already told you. Chum is all you get. You get 2,000 amos. That's Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank for the reasons he carries through the Pashut Pshat on this sugya, and stops there, he makes no further applications. Next, I give you Rav Moshe. Here's Rav Moshe. This is like where he gives his psak. Rav Moshe says, no, as we just learned, you get the orises. Now, and Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's on page 2, up there, he's going to tell you a sort of middle ground. He really feels like Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank, but he says, the Chasam Sofer, who had the Shiloh, what was the context of the Chasam Sofer Shiloh? He had this guy who was going out to save a Nochri. It was that same Shiloh we once talked about, being Mechal Shabbos to save a Nochri. So the Chasam Sofer is talking about this guy doing it and what heter he has to do that in the first place. It's pikuach nefesh for him if he doesn't do it. So he's allowed to do it. And what about going home? So the Chasam Sofer says, yes, he can go back even after doing it, even though his life's no longer in danger. We're going to say, Yatir Sofer Mishum Tchilas, and he can go back. How should he go back? So the Chasam Sofer says, through Amir Lenachri. He should go back through Amir Lenachri. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, after telling you for 6 pages, I really feel like Rav Tzvi Pesel Frank, he says, Kfar Horizokin, I'm not going to go against the Chasam Sofer. And if the Chasam Sofer said, you can go home by Durabanans, you can go home by Durabanans. So that's going to be his psak. And if you look, and we'll get to that in a second, we're going to see that, all right, well, let's get to it now. If you have the handout, if you look at Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa on page 2, that's how he paskins. He paskins like Rav Shlomo Zalman, no surprise there. And if you go to the next page, you go to the Nishmas Avram, he paskins like the Shmir Shabbos and Rav Shlomo Zalman. This is the mainstream psak. Okay? And you're going to we're gonna have to navigate this a little. If you're a Rav paskining these Shilas and you're starting from fresh, you should know that the weight of psak is to go this way. Right? What about Rav Moshe? What about those who are Talmidei Rav Moshe? Certainly you can follow Rav Moshe. And there are people, don't ever look askance on anyone you see using the Oraisas to come back. Because whatever you decided to do, you know, you'll talk to whoever paskins for you. There is this psak out there. Now, how does it work exactly? Because this is going to be very important to see how far we could take this psak. What's the mechanism operating here? Since when do Chazal get to do this? That's the Shiloh. How could they say, we're going to be matir daraisas? Are they allowed to be ma'akir, the kumba asay, sui daraisa? Anyone who knows the sugya, it's a sugya in Yavamos, on, I think it's Sadi Tess, at the end of Yavamos, it talks about what exactly are the powers of Chazal to change things, right? So b'shev atase, they could be oker dinim deraisa, but not b'kum vaseh. That's where we draw the line. So what's going on over here? Suggestions? How could they do this? What are the possibilities? The possibilities are going to be very important for the broader application of this kula. So there's one that we should all know about because we're going to use it a lot when we talk about everything you can do on Shabbos. There's going to be one very important principle.
They could see it as part of the pikuach
nefesh. Ah, excellent. This is what, if you look at Rav Yaakov Emden, the Shelis Yavetz, it's on the first page of this handout. He says what's going on over here is very simple. Lefisha hadavar masr lechachamim lasos geder v'siyug l'tor v'kob midas chachamim ken sheitiru kama dvarim sofan mishum tchilasan. And the bottom line is, it was masr to the chachamim to define pikuach nefesh, right? You can define it very broadly. So, for example, we're going to see this come up in several areas. One very famous one. Let's start with, what is the whole idea of pikuach nefesh is only applicable b'chol lefaneinu? Who originated that idea? Where does that come from? Chol lefaneinu, otherwise no pikuach nefesh. Who said so? Is that in the Gemara somewhere? No. That was really introduced by the Node of Yehuda. In the autopsy, Shaila is one of the first places you see mention of that. This is the Node of Yehuda and the Chasim Sofer. Right? Where are they getting that from? So what it is this concept to some degree. In other words, its definition of what does pikuach nefesh mean? We all know pikuach nefesh is doch adinim daraisa. How far does it go? Ein ladavar sof is what they're worried about, right? You can't just say every theoretical possibility, right? We know sofik pikuach nefesh is doch daraisa, but everything? So they kind of said, they drew the line, they said, chol lefanim, right? That's what the Node of Yehuda said. Others modified it. The Chazon Ish said, it can't just be mamish chol lefaneinu, because there's going to be situations where sakana lefaneinu, and it's not mamish tchol. In other words, I have a town, right? The cholera epidemic is on its way in. In my town, everyone's bari, everyone's healthy. So I can't be over on dinim deraisa because there's no chol yet. I should wait till it happens. No, sakana lefaneinu is enough. And then there's a further application. What if there's not even sakana yet, but there's likelihood of occurrence? Right? There's a certain percentage where you're going to have to use your head and realize this is pikuach nefesh. So it gets further broadened out, and we'll see. We're going to come up with that when we talk about, let's say, on that mythical day of being in on Shabbos, and you're driving in, and now the question is, do I turn off my car? I got in, do I turn off my car when I get pulled into the hospital lot? So can I do it or not? So machlokas sitz Eliezer and Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman says, yes, you do it b'shinoi. Always minimize the sir. And sitz Eliezer says, no, you can't. What's the machlokas? So this gets developed a little later, but back in the original machlokas was, Shlomo Zalman was told by someone it might explode. It's a sakana, the car's going to explode. And Sitz Eliezer says, his mechanic said, that's not what's going to happen. They just run out of gas, right? So either way, the Sitz Eliezer says, even granting your explosion theory, the chances are so infinitesimally small, it doesn't count. And he develops an incredibly machmir approach to Sitz Eliezer. We'll talk about this because it has major applications all over the place. He says that if you're dealing with vaday pikuach nefesh, ein holchin achar harov, suffix. It's still going to be doche shamas. But if we're dealing with something that's not there yet, nothing at all, no sakana lefaneinu, nothing lefaneinu, nothing in existence at this point, but hypothetically it could ultimately happen, those type of circumstances, he says, holchin achar harov. That could be very difficult. You'll see the scenarios I'm going to create. His psak scares me. What did Rav Shlomo Zalman do? And this is what Rav Shechter does. They say no. They bring in another related principle. They say, "Kevin d'dasher be'rabim shomer psayim Hashem." Where do we apply that? We apply that to putting yourself b'sakana, right? Am I allowed to put myself b'sakana? No. So I can't do anything. I can't go skiing. Yeah, Rav Shechter would say no, you can't. All right. I can't go skydiving. Probably not, according to Rav Shechter. But at least he'll define it as follows. He'll say you could do whatever society kind of accepts is not dangerous. So then it gets a matter of who you ask, I guess. Right? But that definition, Rav Shlomo Zalman, applies to Shabbos. The same thing for Chilul Shabbos. You could be Mechalel Shabbos any time on a Tuesday, you would consider this Sakana also. So that is a much more workable, you'll see, Lemaisa definition. I use it, you know, every time I'm on, to determine whether this is a Chilul Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh or not. Anyway, but that's the same idea. Getting back to our sugya, That's what the Yavetz is sort of saying, a very similar idea. He's saying that, look, the Chachamim decided this notion, Havetiris Ovin Shem Tchilasam, is so significant. The person's going to hesitate. He's not going to go in and take care of the Zakanas Nefashos. We're going to define that as Mamish Pikuach Nefesh. That's a very interesting definition. I'll tell you where it definitely has application. It definitely has application. I've seen Rabbanim do this on a one-to-one Tzak Halacha. Like, let's say you decide you're going to go like Shlomo Zalman. That's your major Tzak. You're going to tell people you can go back, but you can only do it with the Rabbanos. But you know this guy, right? One time I was with a Rav who was hasketing the Shiloh, and the guy said, I got to go home my car. I'm not leaving my car there. And the Rav knew, or assumed, this is what he explained to me afterwards, because he was matir the guy to take his car back. Even though I know that I've seen this Rav 100 times paskin, only like Rav Shlomo Zalman, not like Rav Moshe. I go, you got to tell me. What's going on? Why did you have a special psak for this individual? So the answer was, because he really, honest to goodness, felt that this guy would be hesitant to go in if he didn't get to drive home. So once you get ad kitekach, it becomes mamish pikuach nefesh. And therefore, or enough that even if you're holding meager din like Rosh Hashanah Zalman, you're actually going to go further in that type of case. Now, you really got to know your customers, you know, to make such a psak. You know, I never would make such a psak, but he did it. It's reminiscent of the second mechanism suggested for explaining this whole principle. It's very similar to Rabbi Bleich. If you read Rabbi Bleich, has an article, a very nice article, Kidarko. He always has incredibly thorough articles on everything. So he writes on this topic. He also says, you know, he rejects to some degree Rav Moshe's approach. He's like, you know, kind of fitting in with his own approach. It's like Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's kind of that middle ground. But he says that he could understand for sure if the Metzius is, and he's talking on a societal level, not on a one-to-one level, that it's known by to the Rabbanim that doctors are going to make this mistake if we don't open up the Heter. That's Pikuach Nefesh Mamish. That's not getting into Heter yourself in Mishum Tchilasan. It's Mamish Pikuach Nefesh. That it's decided on a society level. If we don't say that they can drive home, we're going to have all these people dying left and right. That becomes enough of a sakana lefaneinu to be operating by pikuach nefesh directly. Okay. The third possible mechanism is what the Chasam Sofer suggested, right, on how it works the Raisa, and it's very incredible, the halachic, this is really just a two-minute aside, the way this plays out with the halachic paradox. He says like this. He's talking, the Chasam Sofer is talking in the context of Kiddush HaChodesh. He's asking over there, how are they able to do that? Right? It says, B'mo'adam tells me, the Edim, who are going to declaring Rosh Chodesh, I understand, is a Gzeres HaKosov that allows them to be Mechal Shabbos Daraisa to accomplish Kiddush HaChodesh. But when we know we're going to have that, where did they get the right to say, where did Rav Gamliel get the right to say, Shem Yachshim L'Asir Lava? Where did he get the right to have those people be Mechal Shabbos? They're not doing anything in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh. How does Shem Yachshim L'Asir Lava, that principle, where does that come from? So the Chasam Sofer says, amazingly, he says, it comes from Pikuach Nefesh. What context? Pikuach Nefesh, if you learn the sugi of Pikuach Nefesh, which every doctor should, right? Some sugis you should really know Be'ian. And here's one. First thing I ever did when I was getting serious about learning medical halachic stuff is I dug into Pikuach Nefesh. So it took me about 3 months. It's an amazingly broad area. So one of the main Gemaras, Gemara in Yuma, gives like 7 reasons. Why 7 there's different avenues for being understanding how Pikuach Nefesh is Docheh Shabbos. So one of the most famous one is V'chai B'hem, that's how we pass it. But there's another one that's given a lot of mileage, and that is Chalal of Shabbos Achas, Kidei Shishmor Shabbos Hasharvei. Anyone know where that has very common application? By an Ubar, right? In other words, like, there are people that say V'chai B'hem does not apply to an Ubar, let alone in an in vitro fertilization, some little, fertilized zygote that's in a outside, not even in the mother. How can I be Chal Shabbos for them? That was a famous Shiloh Rav Yoshev had to deal with, right? So everyone applies Chal of Shabbos Achas Kedei Shishma Shabbos Tzharbe, which means Enachinami then I'm a Chayim. I can't say B'chay Behem and apply Pikuach Nefesh through that. However, I can through the calculus of observance. meaning I'll be mechalal this Shabbos so that I can get many other Shabbosos in the future. That's the Chasam Sofer says, allowed for Shem Yachshin Lavo to work in the context of Kiddush HaChodesh. What's the incredible irony? So you would think, oh my God, the Ikar Makor for this concept is Pikuach Nefesh. So I can apply it to Kiddush HaChodesh. No. Forget about Kal V'chomer. So how about just apply it to its own place? How about Pikuach Nefesh? But no, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, don't do that. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman brings in this Chasam Sofer. He says, I'll tell you two reasons not to. One, Dechuya Hutra, like we said before, right? It's Hutra, so therefore I can apply it that way. But in a Dechuya context, I can't apply Chalav Shabbos Achas Yishmur Shabbos Harbe. And number two, the Chasam Sofer himself didn't do it. The Chasam Sofer himself did not allow Daraisis. He only allowed Amiul and Achri. So that's the background to that. Now, if you push ahead so quickly, what about Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Chasam Sofer? So what's the mechanism operating the Rabbanon that's allowing Chilul Shabbos derabbanan for Hetiru Sofer Mishum Chilasam? What mechanism? So there's two possibilities that are going to have nafkaminas halach lamaisa. One possibility is straightforward Hetiru Sofer Mishum Chilasam. It's a new rabbinic principle, and it's going to be Hetiru along the lines of the way we've been speaking. The other possibility, and this is on page 4 of the handout, is something that Shlomo Kluger in Bicharta B'chaim and that Tzitz Eliezer uses, halacha lamaisa, which is basically hem omru behem omru. And it's very important because it's going to really open up possibilities for kulas. It's very different than just saying hetiru sofer mishum chilasam. This one says the reason hetiru sofer mishum chilasam works is because once you're in the realm of derabanans, the gabe pikuach nefesh, we don't say dechuya like you will by deraisis. We say hutra, it's gone. It's gone. And that means, what's the nafkamina between these two ways of understanding it? If it's a Jewish sofer mishum chilasam, there's going to be rules and limits to when you'll say that. But, like a shift, you won't say it for a shift, Tiru sofer mishum chilasam. However, this one, all the rabbanans are off the books, b'makom b'kuach nefesh, you very well may. And in other applications, you'll be much more liberal applying the heter to use a miyul anachri, we'll say b'makom b'kuach nefesh, boom, it's gone. There is no derabbanan to come back. And we'll see in a moment how we apply that. Timing's good, don't worry about it. We now have all the background we need. So, we have the Raisa, according to Rav Moshe, is mutter for the possible mechanisms we said. We have Rav Shlomo Zalman, middle ground, Rov poskim, only the Rabbanans based on the Chasam Sofer, working by one of two mechanisms. Either, Hey Mamu, off the books, like the Marshal, like the Tzitz Eliezer wants to operate, or it's just the Tzitz Eliezer Mishum with its limitations. And then you have Svi Pesach Ferenc, who's very machle. So let's go through all our cases. So the first case we have, right? You're in the Ikar Din, you're going to find out if you're going like Rav Moshe, you know, it's, most people probably should not do that unless they're really Talmidei Rav Moshe or Paskin like him very consistently. It's cheating a little, in my opinion, to just suddenly hold like his Kula, right? Unless you're a Rav who's giving up Sak and you feel that this guy's going to mess up, really, Mamish, not go in, right? Then you can Paskin that way. What about the second scenario? What about the paid? Let's talk about being paid. So, if you look, I don't know if you have, too bad you don't have the handout, but if you look on page 3, so this is taken out of the Nishmas of Rome. So, he already cites on the bottom of page 3 the following scenario. There was a heter that if Rahman al-Atsan, somebody's nifter on Yantar, right? So we allow people to bury that body, right? Midina de Shulchan Aruch, right? Mutter lavos hameis bi Yom Tov Rishon tochat chom. What if it's Yom Tov Sheni, where the Yisrael are only derabanan? You can even go beyond the chom, and bechidish, chozun im komam bo bayom. Why? Hetiru sofan mishum tchilasan. They're applying this heter. It's dinim derabanan, right? It's all working according to the poskim we're really operating with. Not only Rav Moshe, but Rav Shlomo Zalman would be comfortable with this, obviously. It's right in the Shulchan Aruch. What happens is, if you look in the Bir Halacha, Mishnah Berurah, I can't read it inside, they suddenly say, the Chafetz Chaim says, hold everything. If these guys are paid to do it, or they're the relatives of the Niftar, they don't get to go home. They lose it. Hetiru Sofer Mishum Chilasam means, we think you're going to hesitate to do it. So we're going to give you this dispensation, but if you're being paid to do it, you're not going to hesitate. And if you're a relative, you're not going to hesitate. So immediately, many of the poskim, mainly the Nishmas of Ram over here, and Rav Shechter Shlita, if you look on page 4, he says, V'nir Pashut, it's Pashut, that Kol Heichashu Achrai Ba'ad Beis HaCholim Ba'ad Oso Shabbos U'Mekabel Maskoret, and you're being paid to do it. You're being paid as a resident, you're being paid as an intern. You don't get to use even Durabanans. Ein Hetiru Sofan Mishum Chilasim. So the question is that it? That's really true. So I myself thought to myself, you know, I said, well, let me think about myself. Was the fact that I'm being paid as a resident, fellow, intern, going to impact on my decision to go in or not? No, it wouldn't. In other words, you're getting paid a salary, right? A lump salary for being a resident, an intern, a fellow. You're certainly not being paid case by case. So in terms of that, for sure, it should still apply to yourself in Mishim Chilasa. Now, it's one thing for me to say it, whatever. Rav Shlomo Zalman says the same thing. So if you look on page 4 in the Nishmas of Ram, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Inyan atzala she'atamu mishum t'chilaso, harei gam bekesef, yesh shaharofe lo yirtze leilach im nachmir ala b'chazarasa. Right? You're not calculating, and he's going further than what I just said. Even if you are like an attending, and there, to let you know how it works once you're an attending, it's going to be, you're going to get paid case by case. Right? I go in, and we'll talk about, Maschoret Shabbos is a whole topic, right? I don't take the money. If I end up going in on Shabbos, I don't take the money. That's a chumrah, by the way. You can. There's a heter for it, for sure, for those interested, but it's a whole topic. We can't do it right now. But even if I was, right? I don't. But even if I was taking that money, Rav Shlomo Zalman is implying, correctly, I believe, that, you know, your typical doctor is really not going to care about one patient, the reimbursement for that one patient versus being in the hospital all day Shabbos. So he paskins, and I'm very comfortable with this, even in the context of reimbursement, not like the Chumrah of Rav Shechter and not like the Chumrah suggested by those who say it's analogous to the Kfura case. It's not really analogous to that at all. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks there's room to be Mechalek, and, you know, ask your local posek, but just think of the Metzius. And in my experience, it does. No one is conscious of the fact, oh, I'm going to go in because I want to make that money, right? A, especially if you're not going to take the money anyway for working on Shabbos. And B, even it's like a drop in the bucket compared to like your reimbursements for the year, so you're not really going to be thinking that way. That's the honest truth. It might have been different for those guys working. Every burial meant something. Every livui ames meant something to those people, right? So there, it was metzius that they would go. Right? But I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true, Lagabe, the Metzius of the situations that we're talking about.
But money aside, like, aren't people also just going to go in because it's their job description?
Ah,
they could get in trouble.
Good. Now, number two. That's the next case. Shifts and job description. Now, if it's true, by the way, that you're in a residence situation and you have no choice, which would be like you have a shift, right? Ein achinam. So there, we should go to Chumrah. What's the only room to be Mekel? If you hold, like the Tzitzel Yezer, and that other approach. In other words, here's where the Nafka Mina comes in. It really comes in for shifts to some degree. Right? And I'll show you how this plays out. If you hold Hetira Sofim Shum Tchilasa works according to the mechanisms of Tira Sofim Shum Tchilasa, and you really have no, it doesn't apply to you, because you have no choice to go in. You're not going to hesitate. Whether you get to come home or not, you got to do it. Right? So absolutely, bepe'echad, all the poskim say, you're in, and you're not coming home, right? But what's amazing, and what is really confusing to anyone reading into the sugya, if you look in Shmir Shabbos, if you look in Nishmas Avram, they talk about the nurses and doctors that are coming in for a shift. They could come in lechatchila amir lenachri, right? We'll have to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. We're not touching on going in, which is the shaila that we were just talking about before we started. The shaila of going in the first place or having to sleep in the hospital, stay in the hospital, be in walking distance. It's a separate shaila. We haven't done that. We're going to do that last day. That'll be the first thing we talk about. When do I have to stay in, walking distance, and when can I, knowing I have to go in for the shift, can I still stay home? So, chiddush number one of the Shmir Shabbos, Nishmas Avram is that actually you could stay home even though you know you're going to use a Mir Nachri to come in. Chiddush number two, then he says, these people that had the shift, they can go home. Take the Mir Nachri home. So everybody in America, hint, hint, is wondering what on earth is going on with this heter. It goes against everything. Rabbi Blythe, what are they talking about? I remember Rabbi Neuberger, when he once gave a shiur on this, he said, I wrote to, they quote the author of Shemir Shabbos, Alav HaShalom, Zechut Tzadok Avraham. Rabbi Neuberger wrote to him, what's this psak? How is this working? Why? Because he's given credit. He's the one who pushed, who's quoted, if you look in the Nishmas Avraham, right? He's the one who's quoted as the, who's behind the kula, Lagabe the shifts in Eretz Yisrael. I'll tell you right now, you don't get that kula here. None of the poskim here are giving that kula, but they gave it over there. And I always speculated, and Rabbi Neuberger did not, as far as I know, get an answer from Norbert about this shiloh. But I speculated two possibilities. One is, and Rabbi Neuberger thought this, he thought they might have been operating with the that heter of hem amru, to some degree. In other words, once it's the Rabbanan in the face, etc. But I said, it's not really pikuach nefesh anymore. It's hard to say that's what's operating, because you need it to be b'makom pikuach nefesh somewhere along the line. But if there's no pikuach nefesh, in other words, their shift, they have to go in, where's the setting of pikuach nefesh that allows you to say the Rabbanans are off the books? So then I think the answer, Levi Nistaiti, Rav Nevensol in, and this was not available at the time originally when I looked into the Zinyanim, but the Rav Nevensol's perish on the Mishnah Berurah, he actually touches upon this, and I think he gives away what was behind the heter. He says that he goes beyond the author of Shemir Shabbos, and he goes to Rav Shlomo Zalman, actually. He says that Hitir Rabbeinu Rav Shlomo Zalman L'rofe u'la'achos L'shalos pe'erv Shabbos be'bateyem ima mishpacha Afi nitztarchu acharkach L'chalel Shabbos kidei la'gil le'beis acholim L'tzorach pikuach nefesh. Right? So that was the first chiddush. Right? The first chiddush is going to have the same mechanism, I think, as the ultimate second chiddush. De'einam chayavim lasos ma'amatzim gedolim limnoa chilu Shabbos beheter. Right? Then he says like this. He says, basically, that in Eretz Yisrael, the Metzias is as follows. If they made the rule that nobody gets to go home, right? Anyone who's working on Shabbos, nurse, doctor, who's Jewish, has got to stay in. You know, you have your eight. You're on Friday night, right? So you're on like till Friday night. You're off Shabbos and you're off Sunday. Guess what? You're not going anywhere. You stay in the hospital. How many people would do it? So it's one of those societal pikuach nefesh issues. That's how I understand it. That's the implication I think what Nevensol's getting at. It's not the Feirish here. So I'm still waiting to hear back from somebody. It's like a understood idea in Eretz Yisrael to some degree. No one's like spelling it out. So we'll have to nail it down, but I think this is clearly the idea that it's absolutely necessary to allow this mishum pikuach nefesh. It is the setting of pikuach nefesh because we won't have enough people taking those shifts. We won't have enough people going into it. That does not apply here because we have plenty of non-Jewish people to take care of everything. So the shift question, where there's other pressures, you're going to lose your spot in your residency, you're going to be thrown out of the program, takes away to yourself in Shul Tchivasa, in America. In Eretz Yisrael, it's another ballgame.
Even an on-call question where like it's so costly, you have to go in.
Yeah, you have to be honest. Like, my fellowship, that's what it was. When I was a fellow, this is why I went L'chumra on something that we'll see, there'll be room to be maker on. Right? But I really thought it through. I said, when I was a fellow, you know, theoretically, call from home, not going to. There wasn't a single time where you don't have to round on the patients, that's for sure. And when you're going to have to round on the patients. But just about on every time, you're going to run into something that you need to come in for. If it's like that, then it's basically the same thing. You know that as a resident or a fellow, you'll just be thrown out. Right? And so anything that's related to this, that's a shift, where you're chayv to be there, and you honestly don't have the choice but to go in, you don't get to apply it to yourself in Shim Tchilasim. You still might have the Tzitz Eliezer's approach using the Maharshal. So that's why it's worth asking the Shaila. Don't pass the Chumrah on yourself. Ask the Shaila, whoever you're dealing with, make sure they're holding an old Inyanim, and see if they want to maybe open it up a little bit, right? Has to be maybe not definitive. But I'll tell you now, in America, I don't see anyone passing Rukula legabe situations of shifts, unless it's a one-on-one, like we said before. Unless you're dealing with a guy as a rav, and you say, you know, this guy would, if we make this rule, he's going to end up worse, then you could maybe allow him to go home by durabanos, right? If he's going to drive home, right, then you say, all right, you can go home amir l'nachar, and make that the heter, so that he doesn't just stam drive home, which would be worse than if he did amir l'nachar. What about an ochri? Speaking of ochri, so what if you went in for an ochri? So this the Chasam Sofer says, guess what? If you're going in for an ochri, you lose hetir asof mishum tchilasam. Why? Because the whole reason you're going in for the ochri is pikuach nefesh for you. If it's pikuach nefesh for you, you're going to hesitate. So therefore, it has no application. So is that true? Bismanina or Shechter? Kidarko in this area is machmir, and he says that. But lefini is daiti, and people bigger than me affirm, and this practice is definitely acceptable. There's two reasons not to accept that chumrah. One is really when we say amir l'nachri, when we say that going into pikuach nefesh l'nachri is mutter for us. It's not like the Chasam Sofer scenario where that doctor is going to get killed, so you better go in. For us, we have this whole broader idea. It's for Klal Yisrael, right? I'm going in, I'm taking care of non-Brei Bris all the time and being Mechal Shabbos for them, not because I really think anyone's going to kill me, right? I can get away with it. I can probably get away with it. But it's going to get out there, and it's going to be a problem for Klal Yisrael. Now, that's going to be on my mind. That's even more likely to make me hesitate to go in, right? More likely to make me, if I'm thinking along such lines. Everyone hear it? So, in other words, like, it isn't like, the reason that we say you don't get it to yourself in a Shem's class and in this setting is because, oh my God, I'm going in. What's the reason I'm going in? Because if I don't go in, I'll be killed. So we think a person's not going to ever hesitate under those conditions. That's not really my mindset. My mindset is, if I was a tremendous tzaddik, my mindset would be, I'm going in because if I don't go in, Klal Yisrael is going to have a sakana, right? So that already is not necessarily going to be as compelling as if it's my life. Mom, she's so distant. Klal Yisrael is really going to have a sakana? I mean, if I don't go in this time for this pericardial effusion, I have the fellow there, I'll just say, hey, the fellow said it was okay, right? I could easily squeeze out, right? So it's not so real. But more than that, you want to know the truth? The truth is, and I'll speak for myself, and I think it's true for 99% of people in this situation, nobody's thinking like a tzaddik, really. I wasn't. When I go in, I'm called, I go in, pikuach nefesh, I'm just thinking straight up. So whatever I'll do for the Jew, I'm going to be thinking the same thing for the non-Jew. The whole chiluk, I think, is not a real chiluk. I think it's really not, lemaisa, the way people's minds work. And I've asked many of my good friends and colleagues, and everybody feels the same way. That's why poskim will not uphold this chumrah. And they'll be makil even under those conditions. Finally, as we're a little bit over time, but save the best for last, this is the most controversial question, is what about Friday night? Friday night is a big, big problem, because that's probably the most common scenario you're going to all face. You're there Friday, especially in the winter, you can do a bad job or a good job, the same pressure exists. If I get to go home, I for sure am going to do the right thing. But there's no way, it's not going to weigh on your mind if I'm stuck here for all of Shabbos Friday night. It's going to affect your thinking. I don't care, you know, we're all tzaddikim, we're all going into medicine. You get to a point where these things are easy to rationalize. I gave you examples, I gave you 1,000 examples of rationalization. Comes on Rav Shechter and he says, sorry. He gives a very interesting two halachas he points to. Right, they're not in your handout. I'll mention them. They both have to do with Simchas Yom Tov, where we see. Now I'll give you the easy one. The easy one is the following: Are you allowed to carry on Yom Tov? Yes. Why? So, Sarachol Nefesh for sure. And how far do we go with this heter? So, even things that anything that has to do with Simchas Yom Tov, something to do with Yom Tov, it's got to have some tzorach. Can't be shalol tzorach klal, whatever. What about the following? I take, this is the Mishnah Berurah's case. I have a machzor for Yontif. Chazal want me using that machzor on Yontif. They want me using it. So, can I carry it to shul to daven on Yontif? 100%. Now, it's a really beautiful family heirloom. I want to take it home. I'm afraid it's going to get stolen. Is that enough to be matir me taking it home? So, not so simple. Not so simple. So, the... there's no tzarech anymore for Yontif for me to take it on. The tzarech is so it shouldn't get stolen. So, end up paskining hitiru sofan mishum trilason. We say, you know what, we want to make sure the guy brings it to shul in the first place. We're going to let him bring it back home. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and he says, however, if the machzor was already there and you didn't bring it in, you lose this hefter. And there's another similar case that has to do with shchita and hafshata, a little more complicated, so I can't do it right now. Same idea. Where we see another example where they took away, straightforward, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Mishnah Berurah, take away the hetter of Hetiru Sofan Mishum Trilason if the Trilason hetter never happened. You weren't, you had the circumstances where it's clear to us, the thing's there already, there's nothing about hesitating, right? It's there already. In other words, the way the Machzor case works, we don't have to be Matir the Sof. It's there already, you're definitely going to do it. So if Shechter says, implies. Now, how he paskins Lamaisa, I really don't know. I have to say, I didn't ask him. I plan on it. He implies in Ikve Atzon from this, and others have told me he paskins like this. I didn't hear it myself, so we have to ask him. That you can then apply that to our scenarios. So therefore, if you're there already on Friday, there's no making you go in. We don't have to worry about you going in. You're in. So therefore, you don't get to tear yourself on Mishum Trilason. It's an incredible, incredible chumrah for two reasons that I think there's force to oppose it. And we, you know, those who are going to strictly paskin like Rav Shechter need to clarify this. Other poskim don't agree with it for the following two reasons, one or both of these reasons. Number one, in Metzius, it's completely different. When I have my machzor issue, right? So Elachinan, if the machzor is there, I'm not going to hesitate because it's there. I'll use it. Is that really analogous? Is the whole issue going in? The issue is staying for the whole Shabbos. I'm going to hesitate. I think the application of Betir Sofan Mishum Trilason in Metzius is the strongest Friday night. It's never worse, the temptation to rationalize, to get out of there. So that would be my first argument, and I've met so many times to talk to Shechter about it, but each time I get an opportunity, there's always something to talk to him about. So I always forget to do this one, but being that there. I mean, he's in Eretz Yisrael now. When he gets back, I definitely want to ask him this once and for all. I don't see how you can apply the two, how you can consider them analogous. I must be missing something in the pshat. Would everyone hear it? That's number one. Number two, remember I told you there's two principles. There's a tira sof mishum trilason and achshilum lahasilavo. What about that? That's also going to be relevant. You don't let the guy home Friday night. That's it. But next time, my patients are in big trouble because I'm getting out of here. I hated being there Friday night, Shabbos. Forget it, right? So I think that this is an area you need to clarify. I don't think anyone should fear asking Shaila because I think there's room for being makil. And Bli Neder, before our last session, I hope to clarify it with Rav Shechter. I want to just, I think he might agree because he's not a doctor, so he doesn't necessarily know the Metzius this way. Maybe he assumes that the whole hesitation is to go in, but once we're in, we're okay. We'll be very happy to stay over Shabbat. But I have to clarify that. Sarach Ian, and I will be another speaker of Shechter about it. Okay. Anyone has any questions, please feel free. But otherwise, we'll stop here. We'll pick up Ezra Hashem next week. New area. We're going to get into meat and potatoes of Shabbos and the different status of Cholim and what type of leeway we have in the different levels of Cholim. First, we're going to talk about categorizing who really... Right, we're going to end up saying for Pikuach Nefesh, it's Doraisas. So we got a couple of details to worry about. Who really is Pikuach Nefesh? Does it count ancillary needs of the Cholash of Pikuach Nefesh? We'll see what that means. Or only things that are mamish for his Hatzalah. Right? And exactly what areas are Doraisa, what are Darabanans, and we'll work our way towards that finality where we'll hopefully go through typical pitfalls of being on Kol on Shabbos.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.